Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
And you are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Our next guest is Harriet Shing. Tass.
Thank you, Macca. Harriet Shing, in case you don't know, is another Member of Parliament and now represents Eastern Victoria. Harriet Shing, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tassie Macca. Lovely to join you again.
It's been far too long since you were last on the airwaves, so thank you for joining us this morning.
And how...
Cannot imagine spending a better morning than with you guys, so it's really lovely to see you.
Well, when we can, we'd love to have you back in the studio.
And we've
three dimensions is really something we're all craving, isn't it?
Totally.
Can't wait to smell the smell those mics again.
Dear me. Yeah, well, you're right. I would be remiss of me if I didn't ask, how is Greyhounds today?
Well, they're just wonderful. But last night and yesterday, I'm not sure whether others have experienced this, there were really big storms. Yes. And the greyhound doesn't like the storms at all. In fact, all three of the greyhounds we've had have never liked storms. And so there was a fair bit of melodrama when the thunder and the lightning came across. But once the rain settled in and the wind died down, it was just about bunkering down. And then last night I had some very, very wet donkeys that I had to bring inside, and they were grumpy and blaming me for the fact that the skies had opened up. But today, I think we're going to be spared further rain, which is really good. And dogs have been just magnificent, as I'm sure others will agree. Having animals during lockdown is such a wonderful thing for well-being and
Mac
for company.
Mac has been hankering to talk to you about your greyhounds all day.
And you know, Harriet, I'll let you in on a secret. Tass is not a dog person. I wouldn't. He doesn't.
Yet.
He's not. Yet. He is not a dog person. And the thought of actually even being within any distance of a donkey is probably. So he's not.
Okay. Let's move on.
Donkeys are pretty discerning, though, so I would suggest that they may not want to come near that. So I mean, it goes two ways. If they sense hostility, then perhaps they wouldn't want to engage. But greyhounds, are, as I like to tell people, as many people who will listen, because I like other human slaves to greyhounds, am a bit fanatical about it. They're kind of like a cross between a dog and a panther and a horse. So, Tass, I reckon between all of those descriptions, you could probably find a reason to like them.
Thank you, thank you.
When
thank
he comes
you.
To,
now, I'm going
to
move
hang
the
on,
conversation
when he, I was just going to say this. When he was allowed to come to our house, Harriet, he would come in and he'd go, "Hello, dog."
Hello.
Self-preservation. No, Tass, I think that's self-preservation because you didn't want to be rejected by the greyhound. And
may
they're
be.
Actually really
it
lovely, inclusive animals. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, what we want to talk about with you this morning, and we're going to seriously run out of time, is a report that was released just recently around called Rainbow Ceilings, which really describes the experience of LGBTI women or queer women, if I can use a shorter acronym, queer women in their quest for leadership positions and public office. And I understand you're on a panel, and I thought it might be interesting to hear from you directly as an out lesbian member of parliament, what your experiences have been. Have you actually encountered this so-called rainbow ceiling, and what did it feel like?
Absolutely, and we've just had Wear It Purple Day, which was a pretty significant range of activities across the board last week. So thank you to everyone who's been part of that, whether through listening and engaging or through presenting. This was a really good discussion on what it means for LBTIQ women, and I really think it's important to include trans and intersex women in this discussion, to really pick apart the experiences of people in running and putting their hands up for pre-selection, and then getting into any level of government, as far as embedded prejudice and discrimination is concerned, the need for cultural change, and the sorts of systems and frameworks that amount to the status quo, which for people in our communities can amount to a very, very difficult time, whether that's trying to fit in a world where we are, because of who we are, different, and also seeking to effect change to make our parliaments more inclusive, and our council chambers, and our airwaves and boardroom tables, and indeed any other level of decision making or inclusion that we're not currently a part of in the way that proportionally I think we should. In the intro then, you just referred to me as a lesbian member of the Victorian Parliament. I'm actually the only one, and I think that's really, as an out lesbian, that's really telling that I think we've come a long way with a better mix of representation, at least on government and crossbenches, for the divide between men and women. And in our cabinet now, we have more women than men. But we still have so far to go in having a better representation for LGBTIQA plus people, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, for people from a variety of different backgrounds, people who are neurodiverse, people with disabilities. And I'm very firmly of the belief that our parliaments need to represent communities, and in that sense we've got a long way to go. And the report itself really does show that we need to recognise systems of inequality or discrimination, whether that's direct or indirect discrimination, and in fact to work with the existing system to pre-select and to create the frameworks for including more people from our communities to be pre-selected for safe seats, and pre-selected in a way that actually will lead to better, more diverse representation. And I've certainly been calling for that and been on a soapbox about it for a really long time.
I think that's great. I think that's great. But tell us about some of the experiences that you had. You know, what were some of the barriers? Was your sexuality ever an issue in when you put up your hand for pre-selection?
It's something that I have always felt, or I frequently felt, was a bit of an elephant in the room, needing to, in fact, define myself in a way that straight people don't, in the context of pre-selection, and therefore to try to to feel as though I had to then explain my family circumstances and whether I've got a partner and all the sorts of questions that straight people might in fact be asked, but then the level of detail and scrutiny that continues beyond that, because I'm a member of our rainbow communities, has been really noticeable. Within the parliament itself, I've experienced enormous levels of homophobia, not just listening to people on their feet and having to sit opposite people when I was the Safe Schools Ambassador, and hear just some of the most offensive, vile, really hurtful, invective, and, you know, births deaths and marriages certificate reform for trans folk, challenges to the conversion ban. These are all platforms for people who are incredibly conservative, who've got platforms that, that are about satisfying very, very significant right-wing stakeholders and conservative stakeholders, and to listen to contributions about the very personal nature of who we are has been deeply confronting. And then you hear members of parliament just in casual conversation making homophobic and transphobic comments just as jokes. It's there's a long way to go in the halls and corridors of our parliaments, but then also more broadly in the community. So I think it's as much as anything about being visible, and that's through pre-selection. It's through discussions in how we can support stakeholders, but it's also then about making sure that our parliaments have that rainbow presence, such that it then leads to people thinking about the consequences of homophobia or transphobia, biphobia or intersex phobia around everything from language through to the way that people are treated, through even to the use of pronouns. You know, we need to be respectful, and that goes across the board. But from my experience, it has been a hard slog.
And I have to say, from my personal point of view, I just hate it when people make assumptions and just assume that you are married. And you know, for me, that I'm married and that I have a wife waiting for me back at home. And, you know, this just comes up over and over again in both my personal life and my professional life. And I find it pretty infuriating, actually, that people make those sorts of assumptions. Harriet, unfortunately...
Yeah, it's the world we've grown up in. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, and...
And look, I just want to say there is a...
It always happens.
I know. We just start and we run out of time. We've got such great conversation.
But there's a couple of comments from listeners, Harriet, you know, that... for example, name names. I don't want you to name names. We know who these people are, and you know, when people say things like this, it actually... You know, when they use homophobia and they're not interested in equality, it actually says more about them than it says about us.
I don't want to give them oxygen.
No,
yeah, that's right.
No,
that's exactly right.
Continue. Yeah.
It actually says that they're unsure and they're not content in the space that they live in and who they are.
And they're possibly threatened.
Well, you know, so we know.
Well, we are threatening the status quo, absolutely. We represent change. We know, and that's hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, we know who they are. And, you know, at the end of the day...
Harriet, thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on air this morning and talking to us about your experiences. Once we can, we'd love to have you here in the studio and perhaps co-host with us.
And perhaps, perhaps bring
I can't wait.
Good.
Bring in one of your doggies to meet Patch.
Excellent. I can't wait. That would be brilliant. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Good on you. As always.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.